Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah. Call or Fold every Tuesdays here on the Bart Winkler Show. Bart gets the stories of the days as I deal them out. He can either call, buy, fold, sell, or raise, double buy? I don't really know. He doesn't do it that often. Just wasting my imaging. So we'll start here. Bartholomew, Bartandalus, Bartimer. The Houston Rockets were the number two seed entering the postseason, and it seems like nobody remembers them anymore. After they've been eliminated by the Warriors in Game 7, the Rockets entered the offseason with plenty of assets compiled over the past 5 years and a roster teeming with talented young players. Lots of assets, but Bart, I ask you, is there a true alpha on this team yet? Call or fold, the Houston Rockets need to trade for a superstar this offseason.
Well, do they need to? I will fold.
Fold.
They need to get some more scoring is what they need. They need some guys that can score. Maybe it's guys that are already on their team that do a better job of scoring. Now, one guy that you may suggest in a potential trade is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And there was a buzzworthy report about his potential desires today, which I do need to get to before the end of the program. Who would be available for them to pull a trade for? I guess, are we still thinking Durant could land there? I mean, that would help. I don't know. I mean, superstar. I'm folding, but I'm going to intently watch how this hand plays out is what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, I mean, you fold it. It's not like you can get back into it. I'm like, oh, I changed my mind. Yeah, I want to play it after all. You know, fold is fold. Abdul Carter, he still doesn't have a number. What the hell's taking him so long? But at least he has a job. The number three overall pick is being added to a talented outside linebackers room that includes Kayvon Thibodeau, who was the number fifth overall pick in 2022, and Pro Bowler Brian Burns, 1 year removed after being acquired from Carolina Panthers for basically nothing. It was a second-round pick and a fifth. I'm totally fine with that. Thibodeau himself said he's super excited about the New York Giants' top draft pick, even if he plays the same position and can have a similar role. Thibodeau was thought to be the next big pass rusher coming out of Oregon when he was drafted, but despite 21 sacks in 3 years, he has a tendency to really disappear in games. He did get his fifth-year option picked up, but the jury is still out on whether Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be a fit for the Giants long-term. So call or fold, Kayvon Thibodeau should be worried about Abdul Carter.
Is this like a talking point in New York today or what?
No, it's a talking point in the house of Carlos. When I'm asking my dog and my dog looks at me because he doesn't understand what I'm talking about.
I mean, I'm going to fold. I don't think so. But look, this is one of the gripes that I have with people that cover my teams is I don't know what's going on in their house as well as I know what's going on in my own. I think I have to look at your hand here and get your opinion.
Yeah, there's been talk that before even Carter got drafted, a lot of people were like, hey, if we get this guy, let's just trade Kayvon Thibodeau. Let's just see what you can get
from him. Why has he been so disappointing?
Dude, I don't know. So there's red flags with both of these guys. There was red flags with Kayvon when he was getting drafted because it seemed he had a lot, you know, the famous question.
It's basically the same pick. It's like...
Almost.
This is like what they did four years ago, drafted an edge guy.
Yeah, but it's also kind of the same mentality with these guys also. With Kayvon, you know, there was an eye of him, like, looking outside of his post-football playing career already. Like, he was a very personable guy. He was, you know, media savvy. So the dreaded question was, does this guy love football enough? Came up. Giants still picked him because, you know, they needed a pass rush, and seems like we still do. But now we might have overcompensated, although that's not a bad problem to have. So Carter does theoretically make Thibodeau expendable, but I'm in the minority. Dude, load up as many bodies on that front line and just absolutely fold quarterbacks in half, because you're not going to be able to outscore the Cowboys, the Eagles, and probably even the Commanders in your own division. So if you can just beat those quarterbacks up, then you can win some games. I'm okay, but I do see a world where a lot of people are like, just get rid of this guy.
Still, the Brian Burns trade, I mean, he's under contract for a while.
Yeah, he got a 5-year deal. And again, the Giants gave up a 2 and a 5. Yeah, they had to pay him, but it's a steal. Carolina, that was almost, I don't want to say Nico Harrison level, but I still don't understand what the Panthers were doing with that.
No, I think a 2 and a 5, I think, you want to be the Giants on that side. But that was, I don't know, that seems like a trade you make when you're close to contending. The Giants are a ways away yet, aren't they?
Not defensively. I mean, maybe this is recency bias coming off
the heels
of the draft.
Yeah, but you don't win with defense anymore.
Well, the Super Bowls that the Giants have all won, and it's not even just one or two of them, even with Eli there, although Eli probably won that second ring, they've all been basically on the backs of that defense. That NASCAR package that that Tom Coughlin had, it was real. So maybe the Giants are just trying to get back to what works for them. And it's not like they have a slouch anymore at quarterback. Daniel Jones is gone. I'm not saying Russell Wilson's the second coming of Jesus, but he's going to be better than what Daniel Jones brought in. So, you know, they still got a tough schedule. I don't think the Giants will be that bad. I mean, it can't possibly get worse, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm folding. I don't think they need to remove him.
Good. All right, at least we're on the same boat on that. All right, let's switch gears over to baseball because, God forbid, we talk about baseball enough here. I love baseball. Bart likes baseball with his Brewers being complete bozos. Let's go to a team that's even worse than both the Cubs and the Brewers, because the Cubs just blew a huge game against the Giants. Here's the Pirates. Paul Skeens is now 0-4 in his young career versus the St. Louis Cardinals. He just can't get a break against those guys. And he has a losing record for Pittsburgh overall, which is not a surprise because Pittsburgh stinks. He's at 3 wins, 4 losses, and a 2.77 ERA. A few weeks ago, we crushed Bob Nutton for various reasons, but the on-field product is enough to just blast him on its own. They are on track to lose over 90 games this season. I feel like it's a statement as old as time. Call or fold, Paul Skeens will be traded by 2028.
I have to call that.
Cole. Ugh.
I mean, you can't. It's so demoralizing. You can't. What's even the point? Why'd you even take him? Why even draft any? If you're the Pirates, why even draft anybody? Why even get rookies that are, like, this good if you're just going to put this team around them and not invest into your squad? It's just so demoralizing.
Yeah.
It's like the problem a lot of teams in baseball face is, or maybe an excuse, there's a salary structure that doesn't benefit every team. But some teams just use that as a cover to not even try. There's too many teams that don't even try, and they're like, oh, well, we can't compete. Well, you could try. You could try to compete. That's why, even though the Brewers have to trade guys like Josh Hader and Devin Williams and can't re-sign a CC Sabathia or Prince Fielder. They're at least trying to be competitive. They're putting a lot of money into international development. They've got a pitching lab in Arizona that's done a lot of good with different relievers and finding how to improve them. They're trying to make stealth moves. You know, they're at least trying to win. You could still be a small market, not have financial resources and try to win. I haven't seen any of that from Pittsburgh, so... Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to get traded at some point. Call.
Honestly, they're just wasting guys. It's not like they're completely devoid of talent, but what do you have to look forward to if you're a Pirates fan? On and off the field, like, there's nothing right there. Alas, let's go to Aaron Judge. He's off to another incredible season start. He's hitting .412. 12 home runs, 34 RBIs. Dude's an absolute beast. Now, a lot of people thought his numbers might dip off a little bit because Juan Soto, with a jump ship, went across town to the New York Mets. But he's absolutely thriving. Austin Wells is doing pretty well, too. The Yankees got some pop. But Aaron Judge himself, again, just incredible starts. And it doesn't seem like he's really getting talked a lot about. So I ask you, call or fold? Aaron Judge is underappreciated by national media.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'll call that cold. I mean, Aaron Judge, this is, again, the problem with baseball. He's hitting .412.
Dude, he's hitting the cover off the ball. Yeah, he's an absolute savage right now.
Jeez, I'm glad I took him then in my fantasy.
You have him in fantasy? You didn't know he hit .412?
I mean, I just set the lineup and see
that's
what I'm doing.
That's fair, yeah.
It's a daily lineup, so I'm, like, active, but I'm not... Because Aaron Judge isn't a guy that I have to decide if I'm going to sit or bench, you know? It's Aaron Judge. Yeah, I think a lot of these guys are... I mean, I would say... Name a guy and he's underappreciated. I still think Shohei Ohtani's underappreciated. I think Pete Alonso's underappreciated. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is wildly underappreciated. Name a guy in baseball. They are underappreciated just by the makeup of how the sport is covered and viewed. Because again, I didn't watch any baseball tonight. I kept track of if the Brewers were beating the Astros. But that was actually only because more so that I took the Brewers in my Survivor this week. If it was just the I don't know. Drive by the stadium, maybe check the score on the radio. But, yeah, everybody's underappreciated. Aaron Judge, definitely. Now, the big story today about him, or at least this week, is the MVP odds in the National League. It's kind of anybody's game with the top five guys. Corbin Carroll, Pete Alonso, Tatis, Tucker, Shohei, still. But Aaron Judge is -900, and the next best guy is 14-1 at Bobby Witt Jr. And then the next two best guys, Gunnar Henderson and Spencer Torkelson, are 75-1. It's about as runaway as it's been. All he's got to do is stay healthy through, like, July 15th, and he should be able to get the MVP.
Yeah, by the way, he also had a 14-game hitting streak. He just, you know, that got snapped against the Padres when they lost that game, but... he's doing well for your fantasy lineup, just so you know. All right, last one here. Everybody knows by now Greg Popovich has called it quits, at least on the coaching side. He's stepping down. And one of the supporters that came out and just lauded, you know, Pop like everybody else's former assistant, Becky Hammon, who is the Las Vegas Aces head coach in the WNBA. Now, obviously, she did not get the role. That went to Mitch Johnson. But there was talk that, you know, Becky Hammon could be that next person up. After all, it was Greg Popovich who did give her the opportunity to be a assistant head coach. Becky Hammon's broken a lot of barriers so far. And she says although she's very happy, she hasn't ruled out a transition into the NBA itself. She's 48, so still young enough, 87, 29, and three seasons with the Aces. I think this is a natural transition. So I ask you, call or fold, Becky Hammon will still be the first woman to be an NBA head coach full time despite not getting the Spurs job?
Fold.
Fold.
Fold. I think. I think there will be a woman head coach in the NBA in the next, what, 5 years? I think we'll see that. But right now, just at a quick glance, there are 4 women assistant coaches currently with teams. You've got, there's one in Indiana. Brittany Donaldson's in Atlanta. Lindsay Harding's with the Lakers. There's another one with the Grizzlies. So I think it might be one of them. Like, Becky Hammon has made the idea palatable for some that were against it. But it will probably come from somebody who's already in an organization, similar how a lot of assistant coaches end up getting promoted. And it may be like, I hope it's full blown. I don't want to see interim head coach and then she gets like 2 months and then, you know, they move on and hire Mike Budenholzer again. I want to see the first woman head coach to actually get the job. So that's what I would be eager to see. But yeah, I do think it will happen within the next 5 years.
Okay, cool. I'm still holding out hope for Becky Hammon to Toronto. And that is Caller Fold.
I'll take her to Milwaukee.
He beat me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
She dropped better defenses than whatever the hell Doc was doing in that series. I'll take her here in a heartbeat.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.